At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Scarcely was our blessed Lord baptized in the Jordan River by St. John, than he was led by the Holy Ghost into the desert, there to be tempted. They say that this desert was a very harsh place, completely uninhabited by men, but filled with wild animals. They say, too, it was infested with lions. There were bears there, of course, too, and perhaps even jackals and hyenas. It truly was a wild place. Now, at our Lord's baptism in the Jordan, God the Father had just proclaimed Christ, his well-beloved Son, and the object of his complacency. And the Holy Ghost, who is the Spirit of love, descended upon our Lord. And yet we read that immediately after the baptism, and after that had happened, he was led into the desert, there to combat the devil. It was a war between two rulers, and a lesson for us that once we enter the service of God, we must expect spiritual battle. And so here in the desert, our Lord would be tempted by the devil himself. And St. Thomas Aquinas says that our Lord allowed this in order to give us strength and help in our own temptations, first of all. And then secondly, to put us all on alert, to show us that no one, no matter how holy or advanced in the spiritual life they might be, is free from temptation. And thirdly, to give us an example of how to resist temptations. And finally, to inspire us with confidence in Christ's mercy. Now, our Lord's fast, it was much stricter than ours. For those 40 days, he ate absolutely nothing. And he did not work a miracle in his own case to prevent the effects of such a fast. The gospel tells us that afterwards, he was hungry. And it may also be assumed that after such a long time with no food, he was in a state of extreme exhaustion. That is when the devil decided to appear in human form to our Lord and to begin his evil work. The one tempting was an especially powerful devil, and smart too, knowing that the time to tempt is when our Lord was completely exhausted. And the first temptation would be to that of gluttony. Only the devil would not come with a delicious looking food in his hand. No, the devil was here partly to find out if Jesus was the Son of God or not. He didn't know. So he tempted him in this way to get him to reveal whether or not he was God. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And our Lord did not answer. He would not answer that he was the Son of God, nor would he entertain the suggestions of the devil, but rather he declared authoritatively, not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. This was the first defeat of the devil. And by this defeat, the devil knew now that he has before him, if not the very Son of God, at least a very holy man. And so he sort of upped the ante, as it were. He knew that those who were advanced spiritually may be above giving into their senses, but they still can be seduced by those subtle temptations to pride and presumption. And so in that way, the devil would tempt Christ next. He took him physically to the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down." In other words, go ahead, do it. The angels, after all, will take care of you. And certainly, if you really are the Son of God, if you are the Messiah, then certainly the angels will not allow you to get hurt. For it is written, "He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." You see there how the devil takes the word of God, sacred scripture, and he twists it into an entirely different meaning. That's what the Protestants and the Fenians do all the time. How diabolic. But our Lord, again, does not entertain the suggestion, but he answers right away and firmly, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." If this man believe that he is the Messiah, you could imagine the devil saying, then he must be an ambitious man. So I will take him high up on a mountain, and I will show him all the kingdoms of the world. Surely an ambitious man could not resist that temptation. "All this will I give you if thou wilt adore me." A temptation into which many have fallen. "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve." What an intense scene in the life of Christ, but one which has a happy ending. For just as soon as the unfaithful angel had been unmasked, our Lord called him Satan after all, he departed. And then the good angels came and they fed our Savior. By this historical event, we're reminded of the stark truth that temptation is and will forever be, as long as we're on earth, just another part of life, especially for those who are trying to serve God. Remember that the devil does not tempt those whom he already possesses in his clutches, but he will forever tempt those who are trying to be loyal to God. And he will act on their weakest points, their predominant fault mostly, just as armies would attack the weakest part of a fortress. And the devil has had centuries upon centuries to study human nature. Since the beginning, he has been doing so. And he knows what will and what will not work when it comes to tempting man. On top of it all, he is sly, and he wants nothing more than to steal even a single soul. If he could steal one soul from this parish, how happy he would be. And he would also try to prevent man, of whom he is so envious, from having eternal happiness. For him, there is no depth to which he will not stoop in order to accomplish this. Even the saints, the greatest of saints, had their temptations. Saint Gertrude, our patroness, was so loved by our Lord, yet she too experienced temptation. Particularly, I noted, temptations to sadness, and depression, discouragement, and perhaps worry. And she was also very sensitive and easily hurt by those whom she loved. She says in one of her books, "One day, feeling depressed and sad, I complained to my Lord, 'What will ever become of me?'" How many times, in a state of sadness or despondency, we ask that very same question of our Lord, "What is going to happen to me?" On another day, she said, "O God of goodness, how will I ever attain to thee? I am so very weak, and I have no trace of virtue in my soul." Yet another subtle temptation that we often experience. And again, on another occasion, she was fighting against sadness and worry over a person she was trying to help. And that person not only would not take her advice, but almost out of contempt, did the complete opposite of what she advised. And she was greatly hurt by that, as she was often hurt by her friends. And on all of these occasions, throughout these temptations, St. Gertrude always turned back to our Lord and was consoled. And our Lord told her, "I allow these things to happen so that you should find no one on earth whom you can entirely trust, and so that you will be obliged to come back to me and to have recourse to me, because I wish to have you always with me." And there you have it, one of the reasons why God permits temptation, because he wants our company. And there are so many of us who would neglect prayer were we never tempted. Now, going back to our Lord, there was absolutely no danger of our Lord ever consenting to temptation. And the reason for that is because he had the beatific vision. And once a soul possesses the beatific vision, he is no longer capable of sin. That is the state of the saints in heaven, and hopefully will be our state one day. But for us who do not have this vision, what is the first answer to temptation? It is faith. It is faith, remember, that in the next life will be turned into vision. Right now, we believe the things that we cannot see. Then we will see the things that we have always believed. So, at the moment of temptation, we must recall the different points of faith. For example, God's sovereign right over us, that he can and does demand that we obey his commandments. Or secondly, that heaven and hell exist, and that they are for eternity. Or that we must pray if we want to be saved, particularly in the moment of temptation. And then, no matter how badly we might be tempted, if we recall the different points of faith, then we'll have the power to resist and be victorious. So in all temptations, remember also, never give in to discouragement. No matter how long that temptation lasts, how violent it might be, because it's a sign that you do not belong to the devil. Secondly, do not be overly anxious or troubled in the moment of temptation. The help of God is given to those who merely ask for it. And thirdly, remember that each temptation, as long as we do not cause it, to expose ourselves to it unnecessarily, can be a great source of merit for our souls, and every victory over a temptation, however small, raises our place in heaven for all eternity. Holy Mother Church knows that Lent is a time of more severe temptation, and wants to build up our confidence in God. And that's why the choir just chanted the long tract, Psalm 90. Read it. I'll read it to you. Listen to it prayerfully. It is there to build up our confidence so that when temptation comes, we know who to turn to. He that dwelleth in the aid of the Most High shall abide under the protection of the God of heaven. He shall say to the Lord, Thou art my protector and my refuge, my God, in him will I trust. For he hath delivered me from the snare of the hunters and from the sharp word. He will overshadow thee with his shoulders, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall compass thee with a shield. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror of the night, of the arrow that flieth in the day, of the business that walketh about in the dark, of invasion or of the noonday devil. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. For he hath given his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt walk upon the asp and the basilisk, and thou shalt trample under foot the lion and the dragon. Because he hoped in me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he hath known my name. He shall cry to me, and I will hear him. I am with him in tribulation. I will deliver him, and I will glorify him. I will fill him with length of days, and I will show him my salvation. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.